It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
On today's episode of After the Snap, we will be recapping NFL Week 7 and previewing Week 8. We will also touch on the World Series matchup and give our updated predictions. To round out the show, we will discuss some recent news from the Buffalo Bills organization. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's time for After the Snap. Let's go.
Every snap is an interview.
After the snap.
What a snap.
Hey, keep your mouth shut, 50!
I lead by example.
With Blake and Reed Ferguson, discussing life in, out, and after football.
To be able to leave walking away with a degree and a championship, it couldn't be any better.
Yeah!
Well, you can take this boy out the real sound of it, but you can't take the real sound out of my voice. And now here we go again, twist a little bit deeper because I got thick skin.
Reed, I'm sitting here in beautiful South Florida, where it is currently 78 degrees, a crisp 78 degrees, I might add. And to me, this is what fall feels like now. 78 degrees, high of like 91 during the day. And it's cooled down in the evening-ish. Okay. And I'm sitting here drinking my apple cider, just enjoying. I might as well be sitting here by a bonfire because it's so cold outside.
So just to clarify, you consider 91 as fall?
It is now.
Okay. I am totally with you because today at practice, it was an absolute peach of a day. It was like 48 degrees, slight breeze, sunny. It was beautiful. This is primetime weather. Buffalo right now is primetime weather. I just looked on my weather app. There is not a day in the next 10 days, as far as I can see ahead, where the temperature gets over 63 degrees. The high is between 58 and 63 for the next 10 days. It's beautiful. It's going to be sunny 8 out of those 10 days. The leaves have been turning for like a week and a half now. I know I would have mentioned that last week on the pod. Man. I know I missed it. But the leaves, there's like a two-week window.
Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
We missed you.
We have a two-week window every fall where the leaves are green. They turn red and they fall off in like the span of 17 days. I know that's more than 2 weeks.
That is oddly
like
specific.
Two and a half weeks. It happens so fast. Like they're already falling. Like there's bare trees in our
backyard.
Well,
yeah, because you talk all the time about how at Halloween,
yes,
that's when the weather turns.
I think this is going to be our warmest
weather.
Yes, yes. I think this is going to be our warmest Halloween game we've ever had. It's going to be like 50 at kickoff.
So does it only go downhill, literally? Like,
From here.
It only gets worse. This is peak Buffalo.
Next week, the lows are dipping down.
I want to go back a second to your question about 91.
We're a big weather pod.
About 91 degrees being fall weather. When we played the Tennessee Titans last year and we traveled up there, we traveled up to Nashville on New Year's Day. That day before, so New Year's Eve, December 31st, it was 85 degrees outside. I was sweating.
That's surprising for Tennessee.
No.
Practice. Miami. Sorry. At practice. Missed that.
85 degrees.
Yes.
We travel up there. During the game, it was 35 and spitting rain.
I remember watching that game. That
91
that was...
degrees. It's like a 6-degree difference between now and January 1st. So
for the next 3 months, you're basically going to be having the same weather.
Yeah, they said last year was like the hottest like weather on record in South Florida. I don't know if I believe that because it's always hot.
Yeah.
And like even through
hot Christmas. Hot and hotter feel the same.
Through Christmas time. But who knows? We'll see. I'm still drinking my apple cider.
I love it. And anything that gets you in the mood.
Hey, man. It takes what it takes.
I'm a sucker. I don't like eggnog, though. Not a fan.
I don't really care for eggnog either.
I feel like this is a conversation we should be having after Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not an eggnog fan either, but definitely some apple cider. I didn't heat it up this time, although warm apple cider is definitely the best apple cider. So
you're a big decorate for Christmas after, right after Halloween.
Huge. I'm probably going to start pulling out the decor tomorrow when we finish football because that'll be my.
Excellent.
We leave Saturday, Sunday.
Ah, yes.
Come back, and then I'll probably throw them up Monday, Tuesday.
Tuesday. Like
that'll be.
Don't do Monday.
Why?
Monday is the holiday. Monday is Halloween.
You're right. Because it was Sunday last year. You're right. Yeah, Tuesday, will be the day. Christmas tree's going up. Santa Claus blow up will be on the balcony.
Fantastic. Like,
ready to rock.
One of those.
Ready to
rock. I love it. I love it. Okay, so I know I wasn't here last week. Will, you and Will did a fantastic job.
Will was outstanding.
Yeah, he did a great job. I know it's not easy to do a podcast by yourself.
Yeah, I felt like I was sitting here talking to myself.
Ferguson, talking to yourself. Yes, exactly what it feels like. I tasted a little bit of that when I had Chris on without you for March Madness earlier this year.
Are you saying talking to Chris is like talking to nobody?
No, but I was usually you dominate the conversation. I follow and we kind of go through and coming, you know, me being the lead person. That was like my first time doing it in our year of doing the podcast. So, it was good. It was good practice, but so I want to recap week 7. We were on bye week, but I want to get into the Dolphins first. You guys were able to play. You guys played on Sunday Night Football.
Prime time, baby.
Prime time. The prime time Fins. You beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 16-10. I was able to watch most of the game when I was not dealing with my child that is currently not sleeping at the moment. But I was able to catch most of the game. Give us your thoughts.
Not only was it primetime dubs, it was also throwback dubs.
Yes.
Which
I'm so jealous. I saw the picture when they released, like when they announced earlier on Sunday, like what y'all were wearing.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, why do y'all never wear it against us? Because guess what? I hate to interrupt you. Guess what? We are wearing throwbacks again when you guys come to Buffalo in December. That's when we're wearing our standing Buffalo.
We only wear throwbacks at home, to my knowledge. So,
which is fine.
I don't know. But,
so basically, you're telling me unless we play at Miami late in the season,
probably
we're you definitely guys are not always going to be wearing white.
We're definitely not wearing the aqua throwbacks at home early, like at a 1 o'clock game.
That's my point.
Yeah,
that's my point.
We're putting so the other team in colors.
If I wanted to trade jerseys with Blake Ferguson,
it'd be a late game. But we also have white throwbacks, which we've worn at a 1 o'clock game. So, but if you're looking for the aqua throwback, then it's got to be a late game.
Got to be a late game or a
prime
away
time.
Game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
fair enough.
I think we wore a white throwback at home last year against the Colts.
Mm.
But yeah, so I love the throwback uniforms. To me, it is the best uniform in football. And I feel like we've
definitely done best jerseys. But I need to applaud you for your unbiased opinion.
I would have told you
because
that
I believe that our throwbacks are the best. That's my unbiased opinion. So
I would have told you. I would have told you that I think before I got here, and
sure.
and if I played for another team. The only other one that I feel like competes in my head is, and I got roasted for saying this, is the Pittsburgh Steelers Bumblebee uniform. I love that uniform.
They haven't worn them in a long time.
And it gets a lot of hate, as does the Packers, like, blue uniform with like the brownish gold pants.
Yeah.
But I am here for all of that. There is, I guess, maybe another one, the Atlanta black
red helmets.
Throwbacks, helmets.
Red helmets. They just wore them 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I love those uniforms. I have since you know, we were growing up Falcons fans. Back in the win column, huge. Glad to have Tua back. Glad to have Teron Armstead back. Felt good to be back in the win column. Losing streaks are never fun. We learned that last year with 7 straight. And there were a lot of guys on the team this year who remember how that felt. And so
what was the – was it 2 in a row before Pittsburgh?
It was 3.
Oh, 3.
We lost to Cincy on Thursday night right after we played y'all. Which was when Tua got hurt.
Yeah,
we lost in New York against the Jets.
That's right.
And then at home to the Vikings.
Got it.
So
I forgot about the Cincy game.
Yeah, Cincy Thursday night game was weird.
And almost came back.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that we, despite all of the adversity and stuff that we faced through those 3 games, I feel like we were in all of them, and a lot of what we were doing was just shooting ourselves in the foot. It was us creating issues for ourselves.
Sure.
But it did feel good to be back in the win column on primetime, leading into a huge week for both of us, which after we discuss your bye week adventures, we will – I previewed it a little bit last week – but we're going to really dive deep and show the world what we're planning to do this weekend.
Like you mentioned, we were on bye this week, 5-1 going into the bye, coming off our – I know you mentioned it last week – coming off a win at Kansas City, which was just a thrilling game, fantastic. Coming back at the end, Josh throwing the touchdown to Dawson with however much time left. And then obviously Taryn getting the pick at the end.
It's funny. I got home and flipped it on, and that was the second play that I saw.
Oh yeah,
because we played, and then I went to eat with some friends, and it wasn't on in the restaurant. And then I got home, flipped it on, boom, one play, pick, sealed the deal.
Yeah, it was fantastic. There was one guy. Do you talk to fans? Like, do you talk to people in the stands on game day? Like, do you joke around during the game? Yeah, like, do you joke around with people?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes. Not a ton.
Okay.
Especially, like, at away games. Away games, I pretty much just ignore. I should give a PSA. We can hear everything on the sideline. For those of you who are on the kicking net, yelling Jason Sanders' name, we can hear everything.
Yes,
but no, I don't really. I did a little more. I interacted a little more in college just because I was like I liked to screw around with the student sections and the away, in Gainesville or in Auburn or whatever. But not too much in the NFL.
Ton of Bills fans there. But obviously the away sideline is going to be a healthy mix of Bills fans, Chiefs fans. There was a group of down by our kicking net, one of the kicking nets, there was a group of Chiefs fans, also a group of Bills fans that we were kind of, when we would score, I'd come back, put my helmet down, like clap up and give the Bills guy, the Bills fans thumbs up, this is great. And the Chiefs fans would be like, you're flicking me off, dude. Like,
love that.
You guys really think you can win this game? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I mean, we're winning right now, so I don't know what to tell you. Like,
so
not feeding into too much to it, but just bantering back and forth. Like, I enjoy doing that with guys, especially the ones you could tell have had a few drinks during the day.
Yes.
And they have no idea, probably have no idea what they're talking about. Anyway, there was this one, and I'm not going to get into like exactly what was said, but it was 17-17, like in the fourth quarter. And we had just kicked a field goal or something to tie it. I don't even remember. We had just tied it up. And I come back over to the sideline, and the Chiefs guy's like, the funniest thing is he had like this Zorro mask on his face, like a red. He was like this normal looking dude in a Chiefs t-shirt. And he had like this mask that like covered just his eyes. Mr. Incredible.
Yes.
Like black, but it was red. It was like a red eye mask with his eye holes. And I was like, this guy is yelling at me about my
I'm
team.
The idiot here.
Like I'm the dummy. Me, the guy in football pads. And I was watching him, and he was just like, blah, 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 Chiefs, blah, blah. You guys suck. Oh, it's 17 points. And he's like, you really think you can win this game? And I said, well, the score's tied, so technically anybody can win right now. And that's pretty much all I said to him. And then after Taryn picked it off, we were going bananas on the sideline, like celebrating. And I looked right over to him, and he's walking up the steps. And I'm like, hey. And I walked over. I was like kind of by the kicking net. And I like walked over because the people knew that I was like conversating with him. Like the people around him knew that I was going back and forth with him just a little bit during the game. And I was like, hey, where's the guy? I was like, hey, where's he at? Like, where's the guy with the mask? I was like, he's right there. It's like, get him to turn around. And they were like tapping him on the shoulder, like, hey, he wouldn't look back.
He did not look back. The Chiefs fans, like some of the Chiefs fans were like laughing along with me, which made it funny. And the Bills fans too were like, we're loving it, obviously.
Right. But the Chiefs fans were like, hey, he's trying to get your attention.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I'm not turning around. He just kept walking up the stairs. I was like,
amazing.
That is just so sweet. It's like, it was so funny. But anyway, we were on bye this week. We got out of town for a few days, a few things. So one day we went out to eat breakfast. And this is like super, this is like such a Reed thing. If you're going out to eat for breakfast, like what is your ideal time if you're going somewhere for breakfast? Do you have an ideal time?
9.
Before it turns into brunch?
9. 9 o'clock is breakfast. Anything after 10 is brunch.
Okay. I'm a firm 8 o'clock.
You're up at 5:30 with your child.
No. Because if you eat at 9, if you get to the restaurant at 9, you don't get your food till 9:30. You're eating past 10 o'clock, which means your lunch is going to push later into the afternoon. I don't know.
We didn't
get our food till like after 10 o'clock.
Okay.
And I was just like, this threw my whole day off. It was our last day there. I wanted to get Cane's.
Oof.
Because we hadn't gotten Cane's yet.
Just go like 1:30. Who cares?
Well, we got it for dinner. I got it. And
I can tell you're not at all a creature of habit.
Not a creature of habit.
You don't love eating at the same time every day at all, do you?
No, not.
You love just different meal times, different bedtimes.
I love changing my routine.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a passion of mine. My routine is not having a routine. Second and third thing, it kind of goes together. Can you name a better place? And I have one in mind, but can you name a better place to people watch than an airport?
I'm so glad you're bringing this up. Did I tell you what I saw in the Atlanta airport?
Was it what you texted?
I saw a guy get arrested.
The Broncos fan? Oh.
I saw a guy get arrested in the airport on Tuesday night.
No. Please share.
There is not a better place.
There's not a better. The only place I can think of before you get in your story, the only place I could think of that would be better would be like a theme park.
Or Vegas.
Or Vegas, like the strip in Vegas. Yes. But like a theme park, like Six Flags on a weekend.
Yeah.
That's rich. Okay, please. I don't know if I've ever been more locked in on this podcast than I am right now. Please share your story.
For those who don't know, who aren't aware, our granddad passed away last Wednesday on the 19th. And his funeral was Monday and burial was Tuesday. Flying back to Fort Lauderdale from Birmingham Tuesday evening. I'm in the Atlanta airport. I'm at my gate. We're literally like pre-boarding. I get up to throw away. This is like way more info than you need, but I got a strawberry cupcake because it was staring me down when I walked through the Atlanta airport on Monday morning. But I was like, it is like 11 a.m. on a Monday morning. I'm leaving the airport. I cannot buy a strawberry cupcake right now. Yes. So, of course, I'm in the same terminal, same concourse on Tuesday evening. I'm like, it's going down. I'm throwing away the remains of my strawberry cupcake as I'm about to board. And I overhear this couple talking about what they just witnessed at McDonald's.
Okay.
And I'm like, this is juicy. Long story short, what happened was there was a gentleman who was in line at McDonald's. He was severely intoxicated. I assume from the bar at the airport. And he's in line. He gets frustrated with the female worker at McDonald's. He then proceeds to go behind the counter, physically
abuses. You saw this happen?
No. This is the story. This is witness testimony.
Okay.
from the couple who were on my flight that were just standing next to me.
Okay.
He goes behind the counter. He physically abuses this female worker.
Poor girl.
Assaults her, I guess I should say. Physically assaults her. Like, slaps her phone out of her hands, like, hits her, shoves her, does something. And storms off and goes to try and board his flight to wherever. It was not my same flight. It was like the flight across from our gate. It was like the gate directly across.
Okay.
So we're standing there. And the reason I overhear this couple is because they're looking like they're to my left. They're looking like in my direction, kind of over my right shoulder. So they're like looking across my line of vision, and I can feel them like looking at me. Okay. And so I like see them looking. I turn to look at what they're looking at, and it's this guy like at the, like trying to scan his ticket, his boarding pass.
Okay.
Police pull him to the side. They talk for a couple minutes, and then he turns around and they handcuff him. And it was like
And you saw this happen?
I saw him get handcuffed.
Yes. Okay.
So they like pulled him to the gate, like next to ours. He's like sitting down in one of the seats, like handcuffed. And then as I'm like boarding the plane, they take the guy and they're taking him somewhere. But it was unbelievable. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I've seen one other person get arrested in an airport before. I believe it was in Milwaukee. I was with dad. But the funniest part about this particular instance was the guy had some friend or somebody traveling with him. And the guy was
man
like,
or woman.
It was another man. It was another guy. I assume it was like a work partner.
Okay.
Like work, you know,
this guy didn't think co-worker. Like, hey man, let's chill it on the booze.
No idea. The guy was like, screw you, I'm getting on the plane, and just left.
Heck yeah. He's like, I gotta go see my family,
he
dog.
He left the guy. So it was, no, there is no better place to people watch than specifically the Atlanta airport, but airports in general.
Yeah. So to follow that up, I just want to say,
flying with a toddler is quite the adventure.
Nope. For those of you out there that have done it, mad props to you. I can see why people actively choose not to travel when their kids are young. Sometimes when things are out of your control, you have to, like in our circumstance. But I can see why people travel locally when their kids are young and then do Disney World when they're like 5 and 6. Because when your baby is not sleeping on the airplane, you are all hands on deck because there's nowhere to walk. There's only so many snacks that you can give before. They don't want any snacks anymore. They don't. She's not with it enough yet to like watch the TV screen, and she doesn't like watch TV at all anyway. So it's not like she has a favorite show. Right. Like there's kids shows on the Delta whatever that are like kids shows. Like kids love to watch these
Cocomelon
or whatever it is. She doesn't. It doesn't mean anything to her because she never watches those in the first place. Got so it. It's like, so it's, we're just, we're, I'm like, hey, do you want to look at pictures of Buck and Luna on my phone? And she's like, oh yeah, I'm all in. She'll like love looking at pictures for 10 minutes and then she loses interest. And then now she's on to digging in my backpack for snacks. And then it's, oh, I want to get up and punch the air vent and turn on the air vent and squeeze, you know, punch the light button. And then now I'm punching the flight attendant call button. And now, no, ooh, the lights are so pretty. And I'm like, stop pushing the button. It is quite the adventure, but we made the most of it, going to and from the home of Sandy Cheeks. It was quite eventful. So that's all I have. That's all I got.
No, that's all I got.
Okay. So this week you guys play Detroit 1 o'clock, at Detroit.
Correct.
We play Green Bay at home 8:20 PM. We have set up travel details, itinerary. What would you call it? A travel arrangement, for mom and dad and a few of our cousins to travel with, to go from your game to watch your game, leave the Detroit Lions stadium, go straight to the airport, get on a plane and fly straight to Buffalo in order to make our game at 8:20 PM. Thank you to Bruce. I don't know if Bruce listens to the podcast, but thank you, Bruce, and the people at Rep One for helping us out with arranging this arrangement.
But you set the record for number of times you've said arrangement in the last 3 minutes.
I think, as far as I'm concerned, the people that I've talked to, this has never been done before. Now, Travis and Jason Kelsey's mom did it last year, but she was not present at both games for the full game. She had to leave early, and she was late to the second game. So, as far as I'm concerned, this has never happened before, where parents of two NFL players have made both full
football games.
And I really don't think it would be. There's only a few other places I think that it would be possible. Maybe Chicago, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. And maybe like the Jets, Giants, Philly area, New England. So probably Washington. 6 or 7 teams that this could have happened with. So, you know,
maybe like Miami, Tampa.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking getting to Buffalo.
Oh, getting to Buffalo.
Thinking surrounding Buffalo. Sorry. I'm thinking for your 1 o'clock game. Where could you have made it? Sorry. Yeah. But yeah, obviously close by. There's a ton of teams close by. But you know, we are grateful to mom and dad that they have made just about every football game. The past couple of years, they've kind of bounced back and forth, but, just about every football game that we have ever played in,
I think
they have at least made the effort to get there. So
we should clarify, mom and dad, one of the two, at least one of the two, were at every football game that you and I played in
until the
2020 season.
Yes.
They from never me missed a game.
Being in fifth grade
to 2020.
When I started until 2020. 2005, 15 years.
They went to like 100 and something never straight missed. LSU games.
Never missed. Yeah, pretty this incredible.
The least we can do is set them up to pull off one of the coolest things in football no history doubt. For two brothers.
No doubt. And a friend of the pod, Brett Carlson, will be traveling with them.
Capture it all.
Documenting the whole thing. So we will have some cool pictures posted from the podcast account. So
he is going to be – they're going to be doing a takeover of the After the Snap pod Instagram account. So you can follow along on the Instagram story of their travels throughout the day, all kinds of video and photo content as they move from Detroit to Buffalo and then obviously – attending both games. It'll be sick. They're going to, from what I've been told, they're going to do a segment on it on our game on CBS and then NBC. It sounds NBC like has also picked it up for our local Sunday Night Football.
Yeah. A couple of our local news stations, the beat reporters have been asking me about it after we tweeted about it a couple of days ago. So very, very cool. Glad they're able to do it. Before we get into a little bit of the World Series stuff, I want to congratulate our Clutch Snap of the Week.
Weird circumstances for Clutch Snap of the Week. And maybe the first time.
I think
time
it's a first.
This has happened.
First time this has happened. Want to congratulate the Week 7 After the Snap Clutch Snap of the Week winner goes to Cameron Cheeseman of the Washington Commanders for his punt snap, not a field goal snap, punt snap, to seal victory for the Commanders over the Green Bay Packers. Can we clap it up for Cameron?
Congrats. Congrats
to Cam.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. Congrats to Cam. He's having a good season. I do try and watch as much of the league-wide film as I can every week. So nice job, Cam. Keep killing it. But congrats to you. You've won the Clutch Snap of the Week. A lot of people don't know, but those late game punt snaps can be very, very intense because basically what the situation was Green Bay was down a few points, I think 3 points, and they were trying. I mean, there was under a minute left. Is that correct?
Maybe 29 seconds left.
29 seconds left. Cameron had to deliver a pearl of a snap to Tress Way in order for the Packers not to be able to block the punt and gain possession in good field position. So, yeah, so props to Cameron there and keep doing a great job this season.
I believe it's time that we revisit some good, some bad.
Mostly bad.
Mostly terrible preseason MLB picks.
I don't know what I was thinking.
So
I don't know what I was thinking when I made some of these picks.
When this podcast releases, the first game will be tonight, basically Friday night,
October
28th. And so Astros Phillies, huge matchup.
Phillies snuck into the playoffs. I'm cheering for the Phillies.
Yeah, and I am too, just because I think we all have a collective, especially AL baseball fans, have a collective hatred of the Houston Astros.
And it don't let Erica hear that.
It means a little more for you because your wife is from Houston. And
she only cheers for the Astros when they're playing the Yankees or when she knows they're in the playoffs.
Just to get under your skin.
Precisely.
First game in Houston, first two games in Houston.
2-3-2.
Okay, got it. So two in
Friday,
Houston,
Saturday in Philly. Houston, and then they'll travel and play Monday in Philly. Astros swept, as much as this hurts to say, swept my Yankees 4-0. I was able to attend game one, which was awesome. I've been wanting to go to a Yankees playoff game for years of being here in Buffalo, and it's never worked out because either our bye is too late, the bye is early, and they're not, you know, the playoffs haven't started yet, or whatever. So it finally timed up this year. We happen to be going to Houston. So it worked out fantastic. They lost. It was ended up being their probably one of their best chances to win a game out of the whole series because they took a lead early. But yeah, so they swept. Phillies beat the Padres.
Phillies are hot right now.
Yes, they're very hot. They came in as the 7th seed and have beaten the Braves, knocked out the Braves, who are they were the reigning champs, and they have now beat the Padres, who knocked out the Dodgers, who won the most games in the National League this year. So the Phillies definitely have their work cut out for them, but they have proven that they can knock off a team of this caliber so far this season, or this postseason, I guess. But and I know producer Chris wanted to we wanted to add this in. Bryce Harper, I'm a big Bryce Harper fan, wanted him to come to New York when he was a free agent a couple of years ago. But he ended up basically clinching it in the 8th inning of Game 5 when he hit his go-ahead home run in the 8th inning.
On the 7th pitch, Harper hits one in the air, left center field, back it goes! Harper, the swing of his life!
So I want to get in. So we're going to make our World Series picks at the end. I want to get into the predictions and follow up with what we picked in April and how that turned out now in October, 6 months later. So, just to start out, we're going to go through the NL and then the AL. So the NL East, we both picked Atlanta to win the East, and they did win the East. Off to a good start. We're 1-for-1. Atlanta ended up, they were 14 games back. Yeah, 13 games back of the Mets in June, and ended up just going on an absolute tear the second half of the season. And the Mets didn't play bad.
No.
They were winning at maybe they were winning at like a 90-win pace, 92-win clip. But the Braves were winning at a 98, 99-win clip. And they ended up overtaking them in the last series of the season to win the division. The NL Central, Blake, you picked St. Louis, the Cardinals to win 2-for-2. I picked Milwaukee because I believe they won it last year, and I thought their pitching staff would do better than their pitching staff did fine, but I thought the lineup was kind of dead second half of the season. So St. Louis won the NL Central. Blake is 2-for-2. Reed is 1-for-2. On to the NL West. This was the easiest pick of the bunch. Dodgers won the NL West. We both picked the Dodgers. Blake, 3-for-3.
Let's go.
3-for-3 in the NL. That is impressive. That was very impressive. This is where it gets a little dicey in the AL. The AL East, the Yankees won the division. Blake picked the Boston Red Sox.
Hilarious pick.
Which I think
on the season,
if we're keeping score here, should probably count as a -1 because they finished behind the Orioles.
That's
I hope you did everybody hear me say that? Behind the Orioles. Okay.
I wonder when the last time that's happened.
It's been a while.
Chris, if you could like figure that out and interject when you edit this, interject when the last time that's happened, that would be amazing because it hasn't happened in a very long time.
It's producer Chris, per Blake's request. The last time Baltimore finished ahead in the standings over Boston, 2020 COVID season, Baltimore with a 25-35 record, Boston 24-36. But if you want to go full season, you got to go back to 2015. Baltimore finished an even 81-81, while Boston finished 78-84. Back to the brothers.
I picked the Blue Jays. Neither pick was right.
3-for-4.
Blue Jays finished second.
1-for-4.
I'm 2-for-4.
2-for-4.
Oh, AL Central. Cleveland snuck it out. They were one of the lowest payroll team. So a little bit surprising there. They were like $80 million payroll, which I think was definitely bottom 10 in the league. We both picked the White Sox. And there's a note on here that I said the gap between first and second would be double digits. So couldn't be more far off there.
I think Chicago finished second or third.
I think
Chicago finished second. They were 11 games behind Cleveland.
So I was right.
On the double digits.
On the double digits. Just picked the wrong team.
So I feel like of the six divisions that we predicted,
we haven't gotten to the West yet.
I feel like that this one, right. I feel like that this particular, the AL Central was the biggest toss up. Because maybe the NL Central with St. Louis and Milwaukee both having
That's the one I would have picked. Solid
shot. But Dodgers clear pick. Atlanta, to me, I mean, it turns out that the NL East was actually the most competitive. But
yes,
if you ask me at the end of spring training, which one is going to be the biggest most toss up, AL Central or the NL Central?
Yeah, I'm with you there. Okay, so last prediction here, the AL West. The Houston Astros obviously won that division. You picked the Astros to win. I like to cheer for the underdog. So I picked Seattle. They came on hot at the end of the season, ended up getting, I think they got swept in the DS by Houston.
Yes. 3-0 Houston.
Yes. And it ended with the 18-inning game. So I think Seattle's close. I don't feel bad about my pick.
I feel like we all enjoyed pulling for Seattle as kind of that underdog.
Definitely.
We all love Julio Rodriguez. Their radio announcer is
fantastic.
I don't know his name, but he is phenomenal. Some of the best home run calls I've seen in a long time.
Yes.
And then obviously when they clinched and all kinds of big, big moments, he was outstanding.
So going through the divisions, you finished four for six, and I was 2 for 6. Mm. So big yikes.
For somebody there. That is as big into the sabermetrics as you are.
I know.
I shouldn't have beat you that bad.
You shouldn't. I took the betting markets into consideration, maybe a little too much. Sometimes you just got to get the vibes, you know?
Or just pick like I did.
So the World Series, we picked the World Series. Blake, you picked the Dodgers over the Astros. So you're half right on who made it. I picked Atlanta over Toronto. Also, 0 for 2 again there. So my picks have just been atrocious. So we will just wait until next year to do this again. But wanted to make our World Series picks for this year. Blake, I'll let you do yours first.
I feel like I have to stay with Houston losing. I have to.
That would get you bonus points for sure.
I have to stick with Houston losing. Bryce Harper's hot.
What is his name?
Aaron Nola, long hair.
Zach
Wheeler
used to pitch for the Mets. Thor.
Syndergaard.
Yes, I love that guy. Like
fantastic, because he had hair like you 10 years ago.
But I loved him when he was in New York. Just he was phenomenal. But yeah, I think that it's hard. We learned this last year with Atlanta. It's hard to beat a team with hot bats in October, and that is what you have with the Philadelphia Phillies. They snuck into the playoffs.
Absolutely.
They're
hot at the right time.
They tore up the Braves. They've torn up the Padres. They're rolling into Houston, guns a-blazing.
Yep.
I've got the Phillies in 5.
Wow.
Here we go. Dude, all you gotta do is pull one of the two in Houston and you got three straight in Philly.
Oh my goodness.
Bring it
okay.
on. The city cool. of Philadelphia might burn down because the Eagles are 7-0 and the Philadelphia Phillies are playing in the World Series. If they can pull it off in 5, maybe 6, the city will erupt.
I'm going to go Philly in 7. I think it'll go all 7 games. I see each team getting 1 apiece at the other place. Philly would end up obviously getting 2, I think, in Houston.
I think if I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I see it going both ways.
I think if I'm looking at it, neither team – I don't feel like it's going to go to 7 either way. Like, no matter who wins the series, I feel like it's not going to go the distance because both teams are so kind of streaky right now
sure.
that at the drop of a hat, one of the two could go just cold. And
sure.
you could see a sweep, you could see 5, 6 – whatever. I don't feel like it's going to go the distance either way, but I'm pumped. It's going to be a great series.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
We were a little nervous.
I'm going Philly in 7. You're going Philly in 5.
We were a little nervous when it was looking like it could be Padres Guardians
yes.
in the World Series. They probably would have just not shown it on TV to save money
because
nobody would have watched it.
I saw a tweet that said if it's Phillies Guardians or Padres Guardians, they're going to show game 1 of the World Series at 5:30 a.m.
That's accurate.
So, yeah, accurate. Last thing I want to hit here, the new renderings finally for the stadium, the new Buffalo Bills stadium have dropped. Did you see them?
Yeah, and the place looks amazing.
Sick. It looks sick. Have you seen what Tottenham Hotspur Stadium looks like?
I played there.
You played there. Sorry, I forgot. That was last year. The same designer, same builder,
yeah,
whatever, is building the Bills stadium. So, gotcha. And based on the renderings, it looks very similar. So the pictures are fantastic. Some of the, I've done a little bit of the reading, still got to read some more of the details, but it says it's not a dome, but they are saying that 65% of the seats will be covered. And it's not going to be in the ground like the stadium is now. It's going to be above ground, and it is also going to be facing north-south so that the wind – they're strategically placing it so that the weather is less of a – the wind weather is less of a factor for the game. So and the one interesting piece – that I read, I guess it was a while back when they kind of came out with the last round of details about it. They're building a part of the stadium is going to be some type of special mesh, like a metal mesh that's supposed to, decrease the impact of the wind as well on top of the way the stadium is facing. So when the wind hits the stadium, it's going to hit it and deflect it, I guess, differently or absorb it differently than a typical stadium would because of what's on the exterior. So I think that's it's interesting that there are ways to adapt the stadium and kind of limit the weather factors. So I think that's pretty interesting.
I don't know, like building a dome.
The hard part about the dome was I think it would cost like an extra $400 million to like Jeez. Dome it off. So, and whatever, I don't really know all the finances, but
I have two thoughts. One was it looked cool. It looked like it was a beautiful rendering, but it didn't look over the top, which I feel like is right up Buffalo's alley. Like don't
For sure.
need all the frills. Don't need like, want it to look really nice, want it to look really good, but not like it doesn't have to look like LA where it's just all the flash and everything. It looked functional.
Appropriate
for the market. Secondly, I don't really know what I expected as far as dome versus no dome, because I didn't, I don't keep up with the Bills Stadium renovation. Like, I don't keep up with those details. But I think if you're looking at it from an NFL perspective, a lot of people would say, oh man, they should have built a dome. They should have put a cap on it, because that way you can host Super Bowls. That way it's, you know, just generally more appealing to go to a game. You're going to be more enticed to go to a game if it's inside when it's 7 degrees outside. However, mm-hmm. I do see the Buffalo side where they're like, you know, same reason we don't have a dome on ours, because we use the heat to our advantage. Sure. We practice in it every day. That's our home field advantage. The cold, the wind, the crappy weather is y'all's home field advantage. Like, teams that come to that city to play, it is so hard to play there in December. And so I totally get that. Like, I totally do. And I think it's what makes Buffalo, you know, so gritty, if you want to put a word on it. You know, the fans thrive on that. I think the fans probably would have boycotted the Bills if y'all would have made a dome. I see both sides.
Sure.
I think it would have been cool to have a dome because we have to play there every year, but also just because I think it would be cool to host Super Bowls there, you know?
Yeah.
Virtually impossible to do that without – it's virtually impossible to do that in up north without a dome on your stadium. Yep. Mm-hmm. I know New York did it.
They hosted 13, I think. Yeah. 2013 or 2014 when the but Seahawks
otherwise, beat the Broncos. Otherwise, like, Minnesota had it, obviously, indoors. It, generally, in the wintertime, they're gonna put the Super Bowl in a enclosed space or in a place like Tampa or Miami.
That's all I got.
That is a wrap on this week's episode of After the Snap. As always, follow us on social media. Catch us Sunday.
Yes.
Sunday, October 30th, After the Snap Pod Instagram takeover, as Big Kev and Tracy make their way from Detroit to Buffalo for both games in the same day. Full coverage there. We will see you right here next week. This has been After the Snap, Tales from Two Brothers Who Live Life Upside Down.